Chapter 3. The Doctor. And in the passage from the cradle to the grave we are born, madly dancing. Rushing headlong through the crashing of the days, we run on and on, without a backwards glance. Dan Fogelberg, In the Passage. Badger propped his scuffed shoes on the clatter of his desk and beamed smugly at Mel. "You have been up to some trouble," he observed. He gave Simon a once-over, then ignored him entirely. Didn't see him as a threat. Well, that was understandable.
"Usually am," replied Mel blandly. "Keeps life interesting."
Beside him, and a little behind, Simon shifted uneasily. Mel figured the young doctor was wondering when the bullets were going to start flying, and mentally gave him a few points for knowing his captain well enough to hear the edge in his voice. "Interesting ain't good for business." That was truer than Mal liked, but he wasn't about to let Badger know it. "As I recall," he said, trying hard to keep his voice cool, "you waved me. Said something about a job. Now, I get the job done, far more often than not, and I recall having a similar discussion with you about this not all that long ago." Badger shoved his shabby bowler hat back a bit further on his head and scratched pensively at the stubble on his jaw. "Yeah, you did. Still playing the soldier in the den of thieves, ain't you? Think it'd get old by now." Mal shrugged. "I'm set in my ways. Now, you got a job for us or not? 'Cause I got a whole mess of things I could be doing." The little fence pulled his feet off the desk and stood up. "I do. Right up your alley, too." He pulled a flimsy page off the pile of documents and held it out. Mal took it, trying hard not to seem too eager. He scanned it, then looked back up at Badger. "You go and grow a sense of humor on me, Badger? What the hell is this?"
"Just what it says.
Rich bloke on Paquin's got himself a real live alien, or so it claims. I figure it ain't but a hoax, like always, but seems plenty of folk are interested in it, and willing to pay to have it. And I'm willing to offer you 20% of the take, if you put it in my hands. That's about a fortune. And I'm thinking you're in need of some heavy cash about now." He grinned humorlessly, bad teeth glinting. "What with the bounty hunters making your life difficult and all?" Mal glowered. It galled him to no end that the little Juba Jay like Badger was the one calling the shots. But coin was coin, and Serenity was in dire need of it. "And so you figure I'm desperate enough to take a shin-jing job like this?" "Penny for the smart man." Badger was still grinning. Mal shoved his hands in his coat pockets before the twitching in his fists gave him away. "You already pulled off a Jing-Chiang job on that Tidar's planet like Bellerophon, not to mention Ariel. So I'm sure you can handle this one. And if not..." He shrugged. "Yeah, no loss to you. Very human of you, Badger. Business is business, mate. And to be honest, I don't much like you. But you're good at your job, and that's all that really matters. Wheels still turning, Badger. And you're still on the rim." Once, just once, he'd like to come out of these meetings with some Gorium dignity. He was smarter than Badger, by a long sight, and yet... "Come on, Doc," he said to Simon. "Seems we've got ourselves a job." He fixed Badger with a hard stare. "Just you hold up your end of this, Badger. I'm getting awful tired of folks shooting me in the back." "You do the job, I get you the coin," said Badger, calmly, unruffled. "Damn it. Simple as that." He sat back down at his desk and turned his attention to the stacks of paperwork, a dismissal clear as the man's ugly face. Mal's jaw was aching again, and he felt a powerful need to hit something, or get drunk, maybe both. Worst bit was, he couldn't. Too much to do, too many responsibilities. Damn it. Some days he really hated being the captain. Zoe figured she'd gone crazy. Only explanation as to why she'd allowed a complete stranger to grab her by the hand and haul her around like some stupid Hurabun-Jun kid. Sure, she hadn't exactly wanted to get into a shootout with the thugs at the bar, not while 6 months pregnant at any rate, but this was downright nuts. She'd just about decided to put a stop to the insanity, and maybe introduce this brown-coated lunatic to the business end of her fist, when he slowed down and came to a halt all on his own. They were in a blind alley, maybe half a mile from Serenity, Zoe guessed. pretty unremarkable alley. Narrow, full of trash, crumbling walls. There was an odd-looking shed at the dead end, made of wood and painted blue. The Qian Yao let go of her hand and sagged back against the wall, grinning and panting like he'd just had the time of his life. "Well, now," he said, "that was a bit of fun. Not sure I'd want to do it again any time soon, but there's nothing like a good jog to start off the day." He squinted at the two women, and his eyes fell on Zoe's midsection. Eyebrows crawled toward his unruly hair. "Oh, dear, so sorry, I didn't realize. Well, I suppose running can't hurt much, can it? You very far along? I'd say, oh, about 6 months or so. You know what it is yet? Your first? I can tell you." Sweet Buddha, not even Wash had babbled this much. And Zoe always figured her man was the best in the verse at a name babble. "Bijoué!" she snapped. He shut up and blinked at her. Then, was that Chinese? Not the best accent in the world, mind you, but I'd sworn you spoke shut up. Can say it in a number of other languages, too, including fist. Zoe held one up. The stranger shut his mouth, the muscles along his jaw twitched like words were still fighting to get out. He eyed her knuckles warily and nodded. Zoe eyed him over, trying to get a feel for the sort of threat he might present. Little taller than the captain. He moved fast, too. Fast enough to grab her hand when she didn't want him to. Might be stronger than that skinny frame suggested. His grip was firm enough. Pale, like he didn't spend a lot of time outdoors, with a spattering of freckles across nose and cheek. Sharp features just the sight of handsome, but far away from pretty. Longish sideburns and thick, shaggy hair that had a life all of its own reminded her a bit of Wash's. She ignored the little stab of pain at the thought. Huge eyes, long-lashed as a girl's and as dark as her own, with arched eyebrows above them that seemed incapable of holding still. Not very old, maybe 34 or so, about her and the captain's age. Wearing a tailored brown suit with blue pinstripes, dark shirt and tie. He looked unthreatening. A scrawny, soft-living core resident, stupid enough to wear the wrong color coat in the wrong part of Evesdown Docks. Bit crazy, probably, babbling away like that. What was the word she'd heard River use once about her brother? Nerd. He looked like a nerd. But something was wrong. Zoe trusted her eyes and her brain, but she trusted her instincts more, and they were insisting that this man was dangerous. Which made no kind of sense. He wasn't even armed. That coat was long, but like the suit, it was tailored to fit his slim frame quite well. Nowhere to hide a weapon. But he had an odd little tool he'd used with devastating effect back there. She was damn certain she could lay him out, even out of condition and 6 months pregnant. But a little voice in her head suggested that to do so might be a very, very bad idea, though it couldn't supply reasons why. There were too many contradictions here, and that made Zoe a mite tetchy. She didn't like being tetchy. It made the baby kick. "Who are you?" she demanded. His Adam's apple, prominent in that skinny throat, bobbed as he swallowed nervously. "Can I talk now?" "Long as you keep it short and truthful." "Right." He looked doubtful at the thought. "I'm... He frowned a bit, then his face cleared. "I'm the doctor." He offered her an uneasy smile. Zoe's eyes narrowed. His body language said nervous, but there was no fear in those dark eyes. If anything, the expression there seemed faintly amused. "Doctor who?" she growled. Definitely amusement. "Just the doctor." She reached for her hog leg, fully intending to wipe the amusement out of those eyes and get a real Goriam answer out of him. Small fingers closed around her wrist. Zoe looked down to meet another set of dark eyes. "River." The girl raised an eyebrow and smiled slightly. "Don't hurt him," she said. "It's bad for the baby. Bad for everyone." Zoe snorted. "What do you recommend, then, Maymay? Can you tell me his name?" River glanced slyly at the man calling himself the doctor. "It's a secret," she said. "No one knows. No one remembers." Out of the corner of her eye, Zoe saw the man's eyebrows snap together, and he stared intently at River. "That don't make a lot of sense, River," Zoe said. "No, but that's how it is," the girl said simply. "If it makes you feel better," the man offered, "you can call me John Smith. though really I prefer the doctor. He smiled crookedly. Bit pompous, I know, but I'm rather fond of the title. At least I'm not running around calling myself something really pretentious like the Master or something.
Don't much plan on calling you anything, said Zoe, seeing as River and I will be taking our leave. We got business to be done, and the ship to be leaving on.
She turned to go, reaching for River's arm. The girl evaded her grasp. He's alone, she said.
Noticed that?
Zoe reached for her again, huffing in frustration as River slipped away once more.
He needs to see the captain.
River's voice was insistent. Zoe met the man's eyes. He looked puzzled.
Why? She asked. The captain's not going to want to see him. He's got other things to worry over.
River's eyes glittered.
He knows. I told him. It's important.
Didn't mention anything to me.
Not that it meant a Goram thing. Mal didn't tell her a lot of things these days. Didn't want to worry her. Men turned so odd when a woman got pregnant.
The stranger was watching them both with raised eyebrows.
I'm sorry, he said. But why exactly do I need to speak to this man?
You have to, said River insistently. It's important. His eyes flashed.
I don't take orders very well, little girl. I appreciate the help back there and all, but don't think for a moment it means I'm going to follow you around on your say-so.
River lifted her chin.
It's why you came here.
The doctor frowned down at her, searching her face.
There's something very odd about you, he said softly. What's your name?
I'm the River, she replied.
That's Zoe, and you're the Storm.
His eyes widened. How could you possibly? He broke off and looked at Zoe.
I think perhaps I'd better speak with your captain after all. I don't suppose there's room on your ship for that.
He jerked a thumb over his shoulder at the blue wooden shed. Zoe folded her arms and glared. He shuffled his feet, looking a little sheepish.
Only it's something of a family heirloom. It's a bit odd, I know, not to mention awkward, but I honestly don't go anywhere without it.
He was lying. For a man her instincts found hard to define, he was a Goram awful liar. Still, she couldn't figure why anyone would lie about a shed, so she shrugged.
If we can haul it on the mule, and provided you can pay passage.
Pay? Oh, I'll need money, won't I?
He whistled through his teeth and bounced again on his heels. Never did like that concept, but I suppose there's no avoiding it. All right, tell you what. I'll go fetch some money, and you move the box there to your ship. I'll meet you later. He beamed at them.
I'm so glad I met you.